The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the On Point with Victor show. I am Victor Armendariz, the Mexican, not afraid to be a American. Hey, listen, a lot of you guys, I saw a lot of you guys yesterday. Actually, I was, Sunday. Sunday, I did another speech at a Trump bus rally, and a lot of you guys were asking me when I'm filling in for Eric next. And any of you new listeners out there, I am a fill-in host for the Eric Erickson show on occasion. And I'm not sure yet, folks. It just depends on if my schedule lines up with Eric's schedule. I do know he'll probably have some days off for the holidays. And, well, I'm still at the bottom of the totem pole, so I don't take holidays off. So I will be trekking forward with the On Point with Victor show. And if our schedules line up, I will definitely, you can hear me probably fill in for Eric Erickson sooner than you think. So just stay tuned. Listen, if you stay tuned to my, well, of course, just listen to the show. But if you follow my social media, which I really need all of you guys to do, all of you out there, please, if you're already following me on social media, then tell your friends and tell them to tell people about it, because we need more and more followers. But you can find me. It's the On Point with Victor show, On Point with Victor. And you can find it on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it these days, even on TikTok. So if you can follow me on all of those, whichever one you have, if you've got all of them, follow me on all of them. If you've got one of them, follow me on one of them. But it all matters. And the reason why it matters, because you'll hear me, I don't like social media. I don't want Abby to hear me say that, but maybe I'll tell you all about Abby one day, folks. But you will hear me mention her name. She is, boy, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her in a lot of ways. I'm not crazy about social media. I'm not afraid to tell you that. But because of the way things work with studio managers and program directors and all that mess, all they want to see, you know, they'll have talent right in front of them, but they still want to see followers on social media. So it's a crazy thing. But anyway, thank you very much, folks. I appreciate it. So we've got a lot to get to today. There is tons going on out there. I mean, my goodness. We're probably going to jump around a lot, but I got to get to a few things. One thing I want to start this show out with today, coming into the studio, had a great conversation with the Marietta GOP. I believe his name was Jerry, and if I got that wrong, man, my apologies, brother. So, but it was a quick conversation. But I want to reach out, and I'll just say this. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll hear me make fun of the establishment GOP. You'll hear me make fun of the swamp in Washington. You'll hear me make fun of people like Graham and McConnell, and you'll hear me say some things about the Republican establishment. I'm not a sycophant for any party, so I'm not afraid to say it. But at this point in time, we all have to join together. We have to join together because you cannot, we cannot, the world cannot afford 4 years of Harris. There's no way. We just barely are making it through 4 years of the Harris-Biden administration. And then if you have another 4 years of Harris, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid to say what this country would look like if that crazy cackling Harris gets to be in charge of at the helm. I'm sorry. It has, and I listen, you Democrats out there that are running to your cry closet, you Democrats out there that are running to your safe space right now, you Democrats that are, you keyboard warriors that are about to blow up my social media, stop. You don't have to. This has nothing to do with Kamala's race. It has nothing to do with her Jamaican heritage or anything to do with her Indian heritage. You notice I didn't say African American because she's not. She's Jamaican American. You can say that. You can say Indian American, I guess, if you want to use hyphenated names. But the point I'm trying to make is the fact that you've got Hispanics like myself who would crawl over broken glass to vote for Donald Trump in a matter of weeks. The fact that that's happening, and trust me, ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you I am not the only Hispanic that is not afraid to vote for Trump.
the Democrats, you guys, and I know you're listening because I've got Democrats who listen. I know you do. This has nothing to do with Kamala's skin color. And if you're voting for Kamala because of her skin color, shame on you. Shame on you. Because if I were voting for somebody because they were brown, Hispanic, you guys, and they were a Republican, you guys on the Democrat side would be screaming at me for doing something like that. So shame on you if you're doing that, because you know darn well that Kamala Harris is not qualified to be president. She's not qualified to be VP. And God knows she's not qualified to be president of this country. And in the times we are, listen, if we were in beautiful, wonderful, abundant times, if the economy were firing on all cylinders like it did under Donald Trump, if the economy were just doing great and you were doing great and you had more money in your pocket and your cost of living was low, if inflation was still down at 1% or 2% like it was under Trump, if your cost of living was down like it was under Trump, if your gas prices were down like they were under Donald Trump, if all of those things were true today and the economy were absolutely firing on all cylinders, if those things were true today, then maybe Kamala could get elected, because then she would take a good economy and she'd blow it up. We don't have a good economy right now. And not only that, we don't have peace in the world like we did under Donald Trump. We have war that is breaking out on all over the planet. We are dangerously close to a nuclear warfare, and that's not just because Russia and Ukraine. You've got Iran. You've got these mullahs these people are crazy. Let me put it that way. They just crazy. And as my dad would say, "Está loco, está pinche loco." That's how my dad would say it. But these people are crazy, and they are weeks away, is what some people will say. Some intelligence agencies will tell you they're weeks away from a nuclear weapon. What do you think Iran is going to do with that? So we've got war in the Middle East. You've got war with Russia and Ukraine, none of which was happening under Donald Trump's first presidency. None of it happened under Donald Trump. In fact, we had historical peace under Donald Trump. Donald Trump, let me remind you, Donald Trump is the first president in modern history that didn't get us in a new conflict, didn't get us in a new war. That was Donald J. Trump. That wasn't the Bushies. That wasn't the Clintons. It wasn't the Obamas. And it wasn't the Bidens. And it damn sure won't be the Harrises. It was Donald J. Trump. That's the man who didn't get us in any more wars. And that's the man that Putin didn't dare attack Ukraine. And that's the man where the mullahs in Iran didn't have the money to fund their proxy terrorist organizations, Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah. Iran couldn't fund them money, so they couldn't bomb and kill a bunch of innocent Israelis. And along comes the Harris-Biden administration. And in a short 3 years, your life has gone to hell. I hate to say that. It's a family show. Let me clean this up. But because of Harris-Biden, your life is very hard. Some of you are living paycheck to paycheck. Some of you are stressing because you don't know where the next paycheck coming from. This is all happening under Harris-Biden. Everything that you need for your life or basic needs cost double, triple, quadruple more under Biden-Harris. The inflation, I don't care what the media tells you, this inflation, the prices have not come down. The rate of increase of inflation, yeah, that's slowed, but prices are still high, inflation is still high. Biden-Harris did that to you. And let me tell you, Harris just gave Trump, if there's somebody out there in the Trump campaign, and I know some of you do listen, Kamala Harris just gave Donald Trump, the Trump campaign, the biggest gift they could ever give. I mean, you talk about an October surprise. This is a good October surprise. See, the problem with Kamala Harris, and the reason why the Democrats did not like her, did not want her, and still don't want her, but they're stuck with her, is because Kamala Harris can't get her foot out of her mouth. Kamala Harris doesn't know policy. Kamala Harris won't take the time to do her research. She's not prepared, and you can see it. Her campaign is imploding, just as I told you would happen when we got to October, and it's all starting to happen, folks. If at some point in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to predict this, at some point in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see the polling shift heavily in Trump's favor, because now, this is the caveat. I think that some polling agencies will want to save their reputation So they will start bringing more realistic numbers as we get closer to the election. It might be a week before the election. It might be a few days before the election. But I think some of these pollsters are going to switch to suddenly having a more reliable model, and it's going to show not so good for Kamala. And they're going to do that because they're going to want to be able to say, oh, no, see, we got it right. Even though right now they're putting out bogus numbers because they're trying to help Kamala. That's just my opinion. I just think that's what's going on. And I think you're going to see the most of these pollsters who keep telling you that, oh, Kamala's doing this. Kamala's doing great. Oh, Kamala, Kamala, Kamala. I think you're going to see in the next few weeks, as we get closer to November 5th, you're going to see them start using a little bit more reliable models or whatever they use. And you're going to see, you're already seeing the trends in Trump's favor. So I think you're going to see more of that. But Trump received the best gift from Kamala last night. This 60-minute interview she did, holy cow. If I could put money in Vegas on this, I would venture to say, I almost would guarantee you that Kamala Harris is doing everything she can to get that dude fired that interviewed her on 60 Minutes last night. Because that dude, look, kudos to him, and I'm sure he's probably been put on administrative leave. Because I couldn't believe it, but he still was a softball. He still was really kind to Kamala. He could have done some follow-up questions that would have really, really exposed Kamala. But he did, to his credit, he did push more than anybody's pushed Kamala yet. And Kamala looked like a deer in headlights. That woman, if she could have daggered him down with her stares, then she was doing it last night. I mean, the looks coming from Kamala was amazing, because this reporter had the audacity to actually push her a little bit. And again, he didn't even push her that much. But he pushed her just enough to where you can see this lady has no idea what she's doing. And when she's pushed, she doesn't know what to do. She couldn't handle it, just as she couldn't handle the teleprompter going out on her the other day. She couldn't handle last night. And I mean, this was amazing. But the gift that she gave Trump, she actually said, because this guy asked her last night, this reporter, and my apologies, I'm not trying to be rude. I just don't remember his name. I don't remember his name. I am not a frequent watcher of 60 Minutes, so I don't remember this guy's name. But anyway, he did a pretty good job at pushing her more than anybody else did. And he actually asked her, would you have done anything different than the Biden administration? He recited the quadrupling of illegals coming across the border. He recited some issues with the economy. And he looked at Kamala and he asked her, would you have done just one thing different? And Kamala actually said, and this is the gift, Kamala actually said she would not have done one single thing different than President Biden. So Kamala Harris, cackling Harris, wouldn't have done one thing different than the dementia patient Joe Biden did in this past 3.5 years. And she said she was part of almost every decision. And she already told us that she was the last one in the room on every decision. But last night, Kamala Harris, on October 7th, 3 weeks or 4 weeks, let's call it, before the election, she goes out and says she wouldn't do anything different than the dementia patient Joe Biden. That is gold. And if the Trump campaign, please, I know some of you are listening to me, that better be an ad already. That ad needs to be nonstop ad nauseum from here to the election. Just have it come up. Listen, the best ads are Kamala in her own words. And the Trump campaign, please tell me that that is an ad already. Kamala Harris saying that she wouldn't do one thing different than Dementia Joe. Because let me tell you something. People were ready to throw Dementia Joe out of office. He's got the worst economy we've seen in a long time. He's got the highest prices. He's got the highest inflation since Jimmy Carter. This last 3.5-4 years has been terrible. And it's all due to the Harris-Biden administration. And for Kamala Harris to look at the camera, to look at the interview guy and say, I wouldn't do one thing different than Joe Biden did. That's gold, Trump team. That is gold. And that needs to be in your ads. It's amazing. I can't believe this lady. And I know every Democrat operative, every Democrat elected official, all of you were probably throwing stuff at your TV last night because of what Kamala said. and because of the trouble she got herself into last night. I mean, it was amazing. When the reporter asked her, okay, what I asked you, he actually did a follow-up and said, no, but the question was, when you came into office, you guys lessened, he didn't say, he should have said this, you repealed everything Trump did at the border. But what he said, he was being nice to her, and he said, you loosened restrictions at the border, which led to a more than quadrupling the border crossings, the illegals coming into this country. And he didn't even say, this reporter, this is why I said he was too nice, because he should have said, you're allowing terrorists in, you're allowing rapists in, you're allowing murderers in, because we know now that they've allowed over 13,000 convicted murderers, over 15,000 convicted sex offenders. That's who Harris has led in across the border. And last night when the reporter looked at her and said, no, the question was, you loosened restrictions and allowed a quadrupling of the number of people coming across the border illegally. And she said, oh, well, it's a problem that's been going on, blah, 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 started her word salad. And somehow tried to blame everybody but her and anybody but Biden. When it was absolute, listen, folks, you guys know it. I've said this before. Donald Trump was president for 4 years. You all know it. Everybody that's going to vote in 4 weeks, you guys lived under Donald Trump's presidency. You know you had higher paychecks. You know you had more money in your pocket. You had more money in your bank account. You could buy a home. You had low interest rates. You had low inflation. You could go buy the steak that you want for the weekends or during the week or whatever. You could go buy it because it didn't cost you that much. You could go buy a nice, wonderful thing of ground beef because it didn't cost you half your paycheck. You could go buy whatever you wanted. That's the great thing about abundance. And you know what? Like I've said before, you know what comes with abundance? Peace, tranquility. That's what comes with abundance. Happiness. And not because you have more than you need or anything like that. It's because we have an economy that's producing wonderful things. We have people that are making money. You have paychecks that are rising. And so families can take care of themselves. And when families can take care of themselves, they can take care of friends in need. And when you can take care of friends in need, they can take care of friends in need. And you know what they don't need? They won't need the government. And you know what happens when you don't depend on the government? You fend for yourself and you create a wonderful expanding economy, an expanding economic pie. And that's what happens when you have good leadership, which is not what we have now. And so it was just amazing last night, absolutely amazing that Kamala Harris was fumbling around like she was. Just because she was pushed a tad tiny bit, she was pushed a tad tiny bit by the reporter on 60 Minutes who just dared follow up with you guys have quadrupled the border crossings, your economy's not that great. I mean it was just amazing, folks. It was amazing. And the Trump team, you guys have some awesome commercials to go with. So all right, let me move forward a little bit. Yesterday I did another, no, I keep getting this wrong. Sunday, I did another event where there was a Trump bus parked in Gwinnett County. It was off Jimmy Carter, a heavy, heavy, heavy Hispanic area. Ladies and gentlemen, we had Latinos that were stopping, pulling into the parking lot, buying their Trump materials, buying Trump signs. Some of them stood on the sidewalk next to Jimmy Carter and held up Latinos for Trump. It was awesome. And I will tell you this, I stood on the sidewalk next to a whole bunch of volunteers and a whole bunch of supporters holding up signs and waving flags for Trump. And I'll tell you something that I did in a second, folks, but I watched as the vehicles went by and when the hand waving, the honking, all the thumbs up gestures we got. And I will tell you, we received more thumbs up, more horn blowing, more waving, more cheering from minorities than I've ever seen before. And they were black people, brown people, yellow people, whatever color you want to deem them. And I only do that because that's how the Democrats put you in a box. You're in a brown box, you're in a black box, you're in a gay box, you're in a trans box, you're in a yellow box, you're in a this box, a that box. Well, all of those boxes were cheering for Donald Trump on Sunday. It was amazing. But I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, I stood on the street and I watched and I took note of all the thumbs up and all the hand waving and the horn blowing, and a majority of the people that were supporting us were Hispanics, they were black folks, and they were Asians. And that's what you have. If you are familiar with Jimmy Carter in 85, the global market over there, this is Jimmy Carter in 85. If you're familiar with that area, then you know that area is full of Hispanics, Asians, and black folks. And I tell you, they were driving. It was amazing, folks. It was amazing. And I met I don't remember his name, but I met, there was a guy that drove by, saw what we were doing, pulled his car in. I mean, he whipped his car around, came into the parking lot, parked, grabbed himself some Trump signs, grabbed a Trump flag, and he came down to the sidewalk and he stood on the side of the street, and this young black man was cheering and screaming and dancing, and it was just a wonderful thing to see. It was wonderful. So I stood with him. I stood with everybody. And then I'll tell you what I did. So I did my speech. So they brought the microphone, they brought a PA system, and they put it right by the street. This was awesome. Put it right by the street. So I do my little speech, and I'm ramping up the crowd, and everybody's waving flags, and they're holding up their Latinos for Trump sign, and just veterans for Trump, and this for Trump, and that for Trump, and women for Trump. And yes, we had lots of women out there. And they were, and if Donald Trump were here, he would say the beautiful women, most beautiful women were out there. That's what Donald Trump would say. But, they were all out there. And so I did my speech, and then one of the organizers wanted to play music, to entertain the crowd we had on the sidewalk. They were waving flags and holding signs. And, we had some Latinos there, of course, and they're all jumping up and screaming, Latinos for Trump, Latinos for Trump. So I look at this guy, the organizer, I said, you want to see something funny? You want to play one song that will have every Latino, every Hispanic on that sidewalk doing a Congo line? And he looked at me, he's like, no. And I said, I promise you. So I told him to look up and play a song called La Chona. And he played La Chona, and half a note came out of that speaker, the speakers. And within seconds, a conga line started, and the Latinos were going up and down the sidewalk doing the best line dance you'll ever see. It was glorious. And I am telling you, we had some, and here's the thing too, folks. The people that were flipping us off, and it wasn't many. It wasn't many, but there were a few. The people who came by and cussed us out, you know, they rolled their window down, screamed to the top of their lungs, cussing us out and flipping us off, were white people. White Karens. Now, I ask you, as a minority, I want to ask my fellow minorities out there who are listening to my show, who still might be on the fence. You still might be on the fence, or you still might think that the letter D in DNA stands for Democrat. Let me ask you this. How can you stay with a party? And today's Democrat Party is not the party of JFK. Today's Democrat Party is not the same Democrat Party that my dad grew up being a part of. Because, my dad didn't grow up being part of it. But when he came to this country, my father was told, as I was told when I was growing up, I had to be a Democrat. And my father came to this country, many of you know, you've heard my story. My dad came here in his early 20s. Couldn't speak English. He had to learn it. And he was inundated with a lot of people that said, man, you got to be Democrat. Democrats care for you. John F. K., JFK, blah, blah, blah. But the Democrat Party was a little different back then. Now today, my entire family will crawl through broken glass to vote for Donald J. Trump. Yeah, my Mexican family, my Mexican side of the family would crawl through glass to vote for Donald J. Trump. Now, why is that? Because today's Democrat Party is not the party of yesterday. It is not the Democrat Party of JFK. Today's Democrat Party is full of a bunch of white Karens who want to tell you how to think, tell you how you should think, because somehow they're ladled with white guilt. Somehow the Democrat Party, the people who run the party, the bureaucracy, the elected officials in Washington, that swamp, somehow they've convinced enough white elitists that they should feel guilty. And the only way to deal with that white guilt is to tell real minorities what they should think. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. It's like the white Karens out there that want to label us Latinx. Let me tell you something. Don't call me Latinx. There's no such thing as Latinx. None of my people are Latinx. But the white Karens try to label us. And then you have these, I'm just telling you folks, the people who were flipping us off, and it wasn't many, but the people that flipped us off and the people who were screaming and obscenities, we had children out there, but that didn't stop these white Karens from yelling and screaming and cussing us out using foul language and white Kens too. It's the white Karens and white Kens. It was the craziest thing. I'll have to say, probably 7-8 out of the 10 cars that would go by were supporters, and then you'd have one or two that would be screaming at us, flipping us off, cussing us out. And it was odd, but they were mostly white people, mostly white folks. Elitist white Democrat. It was amazing, folks. But that's what I noticed. And so my question to fellow minority voters is this: how can you stay with a party of today that wants to tell you what kind of car to drive? They want to tell you can't have gasoline. They want to tell you can't eat steak. They want to tell you how much you can eat, what to eat, where to eat. They want to tell you where to live. They want to tell you how to live. They don't want you owning property. They want you to be a renter. How can you support a party like that? And then if that wasn't bad enough, how can you support a party that's got a bunch of white, rich elitists that are going to try to tell you what to think, how to think, who to support, and then call you names if you dare think for yourself? It's the white elitist of the Democrat Party and their ridiculous other members who might be minority that are telling we, the minority voters, that are telling us we're not smart enough to get an ID to vote. Somehow, we, the minority, we're smart enough to show an ID to get on an airplane because, believe it or not, Democrat, Mr. Democrat and Mrs. Democrat, Mr. Ken and Mr. Karen out there, believe it or not, minority people, we show an ID to get on an airplane. Now, maybe the illegals don't have to show an ID to get on a Biden-Harris flight, but we regular legal Americans that are minority, we actually know how to show an ID to get on an airplane. You know what else we can do? We can show an ID to get into a soccer game or a basketball game or a football game. And you know what else? We can show an ID to open up a bank account. Yeah, believe it or not, black folks and white and brown folks, we actually have bank accounts. I know, it's crazy. I mean, apparently that's a new thing. But the Democrat Party of today, full of white elitist old people, want to tell you and me, whether you're a black voter or a Hispanic voter like myself, they want to tell us that somehow we have to believe this way and that way and do what they say. We can't possibly think for ourselves. That ought to anger every one of you minority voters out there. It really, 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 really ought to anger every minority out there. I just don't know how in today's world that you could hesitate to vote for Donald Trump. And I still get the question sometimes. I still get the question on how can I support Donald Trump. It's funny because I don't get that question nearly as much. Now I have people come up to me that are brown or black, and they're coming up to me going, you know what, Victor? I'm with you. I'm voting for Trump. Hey folks, go do a YouTube search or a DuckDuckGo search of voters in the hood. And when CNN or MSNBC reporters go down and dare to ask who they're voting for. And I'm telling you folks, and yes, this might be anecdotal, but anecdotal evidence leads to real evidence. And, I'm just telling you, man, there's a lot of minority support that is going to Donald Trump that I don't think the polls are catching. So now, yeah, we won't know until November 5th. We won't know, but I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised. If you're a Trump supporter, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. Look, folks, if the election were held today, I think Trump runs away with it. If it were held today, Trump runs away with it. Now, it's Trump's to lose for sure. Now, Trump, could he lose it? Yeah, I'm sure he could. The Republicans are notorious for losing elections, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. But I think Donald Trump, man, he's hitting his stride and he's hitting it perfectly. Did you see the rally and Butler? Listen, this is why minorities and other independents and people out there who don't normally vote Republican, or maybe they don't vote at all, the reason why they're coming over to Donald Trump is for reasons like you just saw the other night in Butler, Pennsylvania. Donald Trump was shot. Donald Trump was shot in the freaking head. Yes, the bullet only made it to his ear. But had he not, by the grace of God, moved his head, the bullet would have gone through his head, and Donald Trump probably wouldn't be alive today. And Donald Trump went back to that scene. He said not only did he get up after being shot and do fist bumps in the air and say he's going to fight, he said, we're coming back and we're going to finish what we started here in Butler. And the best part of that rally, not just Elon Musk, because that was a great part, but when Donald Trump went up and did the rally, started the rally on, which would had 100,000 or more people, I believe, at that rally. It was absolutely amazing, the number of people that were at this rally. But you had Donald Trump, when he started the rally, he actually looked out at the crowd and he said, as I was saying, and looked up at the chart. Donald Trump left off exactly where he began. And that is huge, folks. That is huge, what he did there. So you've got a man who, I don't care what you think about him. I don't care what you think about his tweets or anything that he did before. But you got a man who is showing what it means to be a proud American leader. When this man will take a bullet in the ear and then get up, blood running down his face, do fist pump and say, I'm going to fight. And then say, I'm going to go back to where I got shot. And then actually go back to where he got shot and stand up there. And then not with 40, 50,000 people. It looks like there was 100,000 plus people at that rally in Pennsylvania. Folks, there's something happening in Pennsylvania, and it ain't happening for Kamala. It's happening for Donald Trump. It's happening for Donald Trump. All right, folks, we got to take a break. And when we come back, I got a special treat. You guys know I don't do guests very often on this show. In fact, I don't think we've done one guest this year. But stay tuned. When we come back, I got a surprise for you. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is the On Point with Victor show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. That's DELAPP. That's walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. Thank you.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
The On Point with Victor show, folks. You are tuned in to the On Point with Victor show. A little bit of rock and roll high school. Ladies and gentlemen, I gotta just take a moment here. Today, I believe it was today, 20 years ago, that we lost Joey Ramone. And listen, if you guys follow me a lot, or if you listen to me for a long time, you know that, I love music. I used to play in a band. In fact, the bumper music for this show is my band. I actually wrote that song. And I was with a band for a long time called Pointless. I love music, and the Ramones, I mean, look at my shirt today. If you're watching on the video cams, it's the Misfits. Great band. If you're not familiar with them, look them up. The Ramones, I cannot say enough about the Ramones. I mean, even if you don't like punk, I promise you there's a band out there that you like that was inspired by the Ramones. So, I just gotta mention, Joey Ramone was an incredible dude. He was a lot of fun, and a lot of people, yeah, maybe most of their songs were three chords, but they were great and they were fun three chords. So, I love the Ramones. I will always love the Ramones. So, just a shout out today to Joey Ramone. We lost him about 20 years ago to cancer. So, he was the lead guitarist for the Ramones and, so, all right, folks, this is the On Point with Victor show you're tuned into. This is America's Web Radio station that you have found. And I am Victor Armendariz, your Mexican, not afraid to be American, not afraid to be American. And I happen to have a guy in studio today. And I know if you guys are watching on the cams or listening to me now or listening to me later on Spotify or Apple, you guys are probably going, holy crap, Victor has a guest.
Wow.
Because Ansel, I don't do guests very often. I think you're the first guest this year.
Are you serious, actually, yep, Victor? Yep. Hey, let me say hello to your audience.
Please, please do.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ansel Postel, and I just want to say I am excited, elated to be here with my brother, Victor. It's a little hot in here, but hey, I guess that means you've been stirring up some stuff.
We didn't pay the bill.
No, you paid the bill. It's hot up in here.
Okay.
I walked in and I was like, man, he's got a fire going on.
Oh, I do.
Whose cookout did I just get into?
I tell you what, Ansel, I get fired up, but I love it.
But you know what? You have to. You really do have to.
Yep.
And it's a passion that all of us should really just jump in and be a part of.
Man, Ansel, you are so right. And it's that passion that that I see now when I go do events. And there is a new and Ansel, I would love for you to speak to this, and then maybe we'll give a little background on you
and what you're doing.
But I'd love for you to speak to this, because folks, in case you haven't guessed, or if you're not watching the webcams, Ansel's a black dude.
Wow. You know what? You don't even have a mirror in here, and I wouldn't have figured that out unless I was still at the house.
Unless you were at the house.
Yes. But you know what? The beautiful part about it, as it's classified today, you and I are brown people.
Mm-hmm.
And as brown people, whatever that means.
Yeah, whatever it means, exactly.
We have a rich history that I believe a lot of people have not identified, tapped into, and seen the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. What's your question?
What I wanted to just get your opinion on real quick is what I'm noticing when I go do events, and I've been doing a lot of events as we head up to November, whether it's the Trump bus or Friday, I was the Trump campaign asked me to be a moderator for a Hispanic roundtable forum, and I did that. But what I'm noticing is, as I am seeing a almost a renaissance type movement with minority voters.
I agree.
I mean, it's amazing. And here's the thing. This is what I've told some of the GOP people because, this is what I want you to speak to. I'm seeing an excitement and a passion that, like you mentioned, coming from minorities, whether they're black voters, brown voters, or whatever we are, they want to label us as. But they're not afraid to come out and say, no, I'm supporting Trump.
Correct.
I mean, it's an interesting movement. And what I've been telling GOP people is, hey, the minority voter, the brown guy, the minority voter's not moving to the Republican Party. They're moving to Donald Trump. And if the Republican Party wants to keep them in the tent, they're going to have to probably start waking up a little bit and doing some things. But, what do you see?
You know, that's a good question. What I see, honestly, is I see independents who have always been independents who are now aligning with the concept and the ideas and the policy for change.
Wow.
I think what we are identifying is when we look at our brothers and sisters of our Hispanic culture, we're seeing where we all want the same thing. We don't want to be looked upon as Democrats, Republicans. We want to be looked upon, as I've always identified, as a registered voter.
Man.
With a voice and an answer.
An American.
Yes.
Who wants to take part in the system.
Exactly.
Man, I love it. Well, I mentioned earlier today, what irks me to no end is when a Democrat will look at me and tell me that I'm not smart enough to carry an ID to vote.
Wow.
Or I'm not smart enough. I mean, to think for myself. I mean, it's just amazing. But and that's something I think everybody, and you said it, because I'm not a sycophant for any party. You know, I'll sit here and I'll tick off the Republican side just as much as I do the Democrat.
You almost sound like Neil Boyce.
Thank you. That is one of the best compliments I think I've ever had.
Just the Hispanic side of me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just the Hispanic side. Oh my gosh, Boyce was what a guy that guy was. That
exactly.
dude. I actually knew him and, He is something else.
Yes.
But
an equal opportunity offender.
He's in his bus running away from the storm right now.
He probably is.
But
hope he has enough gas.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Or diesel.
Yes. Right. But no, Ansel, it's an amazing thing to see, and I love it because you talk about independent and being an American, and that's what we all should be first.
Mm-hmm.
We should all be Americans before we're any party.
Correct.
And I don't think anybody should be a member of a party because you can support a party, but don't be a sycophant for the party, because if you vote for the same people over and over and over who are destroying your city,
you got it.
Then nothing's going to change.
Exactly. And I think it's like going to the grocery store wanting to buy bread, but you know it's stale, and you keep coming back the next day saying, oh, they're going to have fresh bread, but they haven't had it for the last, 4 to 8 years?
Wow.
We keep buying into the same concept, looking for a change, and it just doesn't happen.
Right.
When do we get sick and tired of being sick and tired?
Being sick and tired. Amen to that. Absolutely. And which is funny, because I hear Kamala out there talking about first day she's going to this and first day and her whole, she's trying to make her campaign about moving forward and turning the page. What page is she turning? She's been there for 4 years almost.
You have a point. I've got to give you credit for that. I can't take that away from you. You know, I was thinking about this on my way in. When an employer reviews a resume, they got to look at the resume and say, what are the qualifications?
Right.
Time on the job. Performance.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do evaluations. When do we begin to evaluate our elected officials to say, are you working or are you just passing time?
Mm-hmm.
And as the young people might say, you're just goofing off.
Oh man, Ansel, you hit something here that's it is a passion to me. I often say that people, the voter, the American voter, young, middle-aged, old, doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter your skin color.
That's right.
You have the most power of anybody on this planet.
That's right.
Because we're in the greatest country in the world.
Yes.
And we lead the world no matter what other people want to say. We do lead the world, and we're either going to lead it and we're going to be the world's power of peace, or we're going to falter and somebody else is going to get into that vacuum, and it's not going to be a pretty picture, which is you see happening with Russia, you see happening with the Middle East. But we need to be leaders, and I think the passion that I would love to see is for people to hold elected officials accountable.
And it's time.
And that's Republican and Democrats. In fact, what bothers me immensely, Ansel, is when I look at our politicians and see how many have been there for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I mean, Joe Biden, the man would have died in the halls of or in the presidency if we would let him. I mean, that's how clingy they are to power.
You're right.
And I believe, and this is what I mean why we have the most power. The voter in this country has so much power, because if the voters would put on that independent thinking,
on
that independent mind and say, okay, if you've been in office, let's be nice and say, if you've been in office for 30 years, I don't care if it's a D or an R by your name, you're out.
That's right.
And
term limits.
The voter can send, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not going to pass term limits on themselves, but we, the voter,
that's right.
We can enact term limits.
It's time for us to do it
now. Whenever we're ready.
Yeah, it's time for us to do it now.
Yeah, I agree.
When you look at the term limits, what we recognize is this: you get fresh leadership, you get fresh ideas, you get fresh concepts, you get people who have a passion for change versus individuals who have stayed longer than their time. Everything has an expiration.
Absolutely. And not everybody's going to come in and have maybe the right or best idea. But you know what? We learn from it.
Mm.
And then when we change leadership, you're going to get a better consensus, or you're going to get good leadership. You know, it blows my mind that people will tell me, oh no, you have to be there for 100 years to have that staunch leadership.
Nah.
No, you get stale leadership.
Exactly.
If you have somebody there for that long. And how can we, and again, it gets back to what you and I just said earlier. If you're in a city, and let me just say Detroit, New Orleans, look at some of these, Baltimore. If you're in a city and you've had one party rule, and because, you know, they talk about one party rule, how right now you have some politicians that want one party rule. Well, we already see it. We know it. And all you have to do is look to Detroit, look to New Orleans, look to Baltimore, look to LA, look to San Francisco. Those are one party rule cities that have been run into the ground, but yet the people vote for the same thing. They complain, then every 2 years of the election cycle, you'll hear voters, they'll give you their list of grievances, and then put the same people who caused those grievances on them. So, and again, it goes for any politician. If you've been there for, in my opinion, if you've been there for 20 years or more, you need to go.
I'd agree. Could you imagine having an employee that calls in 6 days out the week on a 5 day work week?
There you go.
And you're thinking, wait, you're calling in 6 days, but you only have to work five. Mm-hmm. When do you show up?
When do you show
up? And I believe that's what we're seeing for the American people. We are seeing individuals who are sitting in seats, occupying space that are not showing up. Mm-hmm. And the more we vote for individuals that do not show up, we find ourselves suffering. And at what point do we stop suffering? At what point do we wake up and say, you know what? It is time.
Yep.
It's time.
Well, I think the people of the 4th District of Georgia.
Wow.
The people of the 4th District of the state of Georgia could start and show the country how it's done.
You're right.
By getting behind somebody like you. Because you're now, right. Ladies and gentlemen, you may not know this, but Ansel is running as an independent for the 4th District. Now, I know the 4th District because I ran for it myself.
Yes, you did. And you Ansel, did well.
You know what? I did do well, knock on wood. It was tough. But I bet you didn't know this. So when I ran the first time and I jumped in the race, I jumped in as an independent.
Wow.
And I got a phone call from Herman Cain.
Wow.
Herman Cain himself. And when I got the phone call, Victor, this is Herman Cain. And I went, no, it's not. No, Victor, this is Herman Cain.
Yeah.
But you knew it was Herman.
Yeah.
Because only Herman could do Herman.
Exactly.
And he goes, now, Victor, I got to talk to you. And I was like, okay, Herman, man, whatever you want. Loved that man.
Yeah.
Loved him. And, such a good guy. And just everywhere. Family man, everything about him. Good businessman.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Godfather's Pizza.
He saved Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
Herman Cain was probably one of the smartest people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a mathematician.
Correct.
And a lot of people just don't know it. They think, oh, he's the pizza guy.
Nah.
Let me tell you something. It takes some smarts to run a company.
It's not just bread and oven.
Exactly. But he actually called and he said, Victor, he goes, I want to talk to you. He goes, I applaud you. And I think I understand why you're running as an independent.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, but I think you have a better chance of winning if you get in the Republican. And it was a good conversation. And back then I was like, man, whatever, Mr. Cain, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And which is why I ended up running as a Republican, but I wanted to run as an independent. So I'm glad to see you do it.
Yes.
Because, and this is what I mean. I would love the 4th to set the example because it's going to be hard for Republicans, let's be honest.
Correct.
A Republican to win that seat.
We know it.
And the Democrats, Hank Johnson is not representing the people of the 4th. So why not put an independent minded, somebody like you, who's not beholden to the R's, you're not beholden to the D's, you don't have lobbyists climbing up and down you.
You're right.
But what are you going to do? You're going to do what the people want.
You're going to represent the people. You're right.
Sure.
Keep going.
I want to hear from you. You tell us what you're
doing. You know, I like the way you put that, Victor. The beautiful part about that independent, there's so many independents that I've met that have said, we support what you're doing. We believe in what you're doing. The beautiful part is we need more independents to come out, open the doors of opportunity so that we can move this country to the next level. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it strong. Georgia 4. That congressional district will be the district that everyone begins to say it was an independent that changed the direction for this district.
I mean, I can't imagine because, and folks, for the now Ansel, this radio show actually, when we're done with this live show, it turns into a podcast, and we get thousands and thousands of downloads. I have listeners from Georgia to New York to L.A. to all over the country, Montana.
Oh wow!
And even into Mexico.
Oh, you know
we
what?
Have listeners. It's nuts. I'm very blessed.
Well, we got to run to Mexico together one
day. Yeah, we will.
We got to make it happen.
Man, that would be fun. But for you listeners out there that aren't familiar with Georgia, District 4 is one of those districts that really doesn't have representation. And you can go to one, it's DeKalb County, or a lot of it is DeKalb County.
Correct.
You can go to parts, you can go to where the money is in DeKalb, which has different representation, and then you can go to where the 4th is represented by Hank Johnson, and you can see a lack of restaurants, a lack of
development.
Of development.
That's
the lack of development, and that hurts the people.
It does.
That hurts the people. So, I have these dreams sometimes when imagine having an independent like you come into the 4th where politicians are going to have to listen because they're going to want your vote.
You have to.
And when you have the bureaucracy, which is the Democrats and it's the Republicans.
That's right.
And that's in Washington, and they're going to need you.
That's
and
right.
And both are going to have to fight for you. And then when you can turn to them and go, well, the people want me to do. And how do you know? Because you could do a town hall, and it's not a Democrat town hall.
Nope.
It's not a Republican town hall. It's the people's town hall.
You're right.
And that's what we need, because I would give anything. And honestly, the GOP is going to get mad at me, but
they get mad at everybody.
I get them mad all the time.
Yeah.
They should step aside and get behind you and say, you know what? We're going to get behind an independent candidate because we want to do what's right for the people, not what's for the party.
Thank you. That's what's going to give the GOP that invitation you spoke of earlier.
100%.
The GOP wants the invitation to see more people jumping in to support the GOP. The GOP has to make a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to go straight to the table and say, you know what? We know we can't win the 4th Congressional District. We respect the fact that someone wants to run for the 4th. But we have to get behind leadership that's going to bring the ideas to the table, that are going to unite the people, and they're going to see how we begin to get those independents out of the corners and let them see we're willing to make a change by coming to the table.
Yeah.
And it forces the hand of the Democrats.
Oh, my goodness.
Because if we force their hand,
so
we now begin to get this country in a direction that says we're going to see some progress.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to wait till the final hour to see who's jumping into what race to say that I'm going to run.
Right.
We have an establishment that says we are the people for change.
Yeah.
For a voice.
And for a voice. And I'll tell you this. I've said this before. The people of the 4th, and this is just an example. I'm just using District 4 as an example.
Yes.
But the people of District 4 could have the biggest, or let me put it this way, they could cause the biggest power shift.
You're right.
Because they're 80% Democrat.
You're
that
right.
District. Probably 70, 80% Democrat.
I think they're about 65% now.
All right, 65% Democrat. If you want, if you're a voter in District 4 and you're beholden to the Democrat Party, if you want that party to pay attention and actually listen to you, throw them out, put in an independent like Ansel. And that Democrat Party, because I do believe if you won, I think the Republicans would be the first to say, you know what, let's work with Ansel.
That's right.
I think the Democrats would be mad at you. They'd call you names. They'd call you, you know I'm right.
Hey, I know you're right, because when I show up at church and some of the, I want to be good with this.
Right.
Some
it's
of
a family
the,
show,
some, yeah, exactly. Some of the elected officials that I know that are at church where I've grown up that look at me and say, won't even speak to me and shake my hand anymore.
See, that's
and would
crazy.
You believe I've served on a board with some of those?
It's unbelievable. But just because you're thinking for yourself and you want to do better for the people, not the party.
That's right.
You want to do better for the people, they get mad at you.
That's right.
I run into the same.
But that's what a leader is.
Yeah.
A leader steps out when no one else will.
When no one else will.
A leader shows up when no one can.
Mm-hmm.
A leader takes the hits.
Well,
when everyone runs.
That's a good way to put it, Ansel,
right.
Because the leadership, let's just, political parties' leadership, whether it's the Republicans or whether you've got McConnell on the Republican side or you've got Pelosi and Schumer on the Democrat side, they will, it's almost like they play whack-a-mole. They if you stick your head up, they're going to knock you down because you've got to stay in line.
That's right.
But a leader is someone who stands up, takes the blows, and still goes, no, I'm doing this for the people. Because eventually, when the people are behind you, the politician, that's the only thing they fear is re-election. And that's when the people get mad.
And if we get that going, we call that today accountability.
Oh, yes.
When you are on the table and accountable, There's nothing you can do other than represent the people.
Right.
And I'll tell you another thing, Victor. 30 years of entrepreneurship, this was not something that said, I need the power, I need the money. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurs do not leave the marketplace for politics.
Right.
This is something that says, as a leader, I can't continue to sit back and complain and do nothing.
Right.
You got to do something.
I truly believe it starts with whether it's the race you're in or even more local than that.
Mm-hmm.
If we could keep this movement going.
We have to.
And keep some independence. I even would love to see the Libertarian Party. And I get in trouble for saying this too.
I want to hear it.
But I would love to see the Libertarian Party get some legs. I would like to see them actually challenge in some races. Because it would be good for the system.
Balance.
100%. And not balance just to have balance, but when you make, like, for instance, and again, I'm just going to use because I know Georgia pretty well.
Yes.
When you look at the city of Atlanta, when you look at District 4, when you look at some of the areas that have only been run by the Democrat Party, and but yet those are the cities that have the most problems in this state, it's at some point the voter has to say, I'm going to take this power back.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that the voter go run and jump in the lap of the Republican Party.
No.
But you can get behind an independent.
Yes.
You can get behind a libertarian.
Yes.
But the fact that you throw that we have two party system in this country for the most part. You've got the R's and the D's.
Yes.
If you start throwing these people, whether I'm only using District 4 as an example because they've had Democrat representation forever.
Forever.
You throw them out.
Yes.
That's a shock to the system.
Very.
That's the people saying, we're no longer going to let you take our vote for granted.
You're
not going to take our power for granted. And they get by, and they don't have to leap to the R's. They can leap to an independent.
You come straight to the middle.
Yeah, come straight to the middle. Ah, that's a good way to put it.
You got
to
balance
straight
your car
the
in the middle.
Yeah,
and if we're going to balance and start taking off, we got to come to the middle. You know,
like
Victor,
that.
I'm thinking about something else too before we have to close out. What was one of the visions that you were passionate about when you were running for Georgia 4?
So when I ran for Georgia 4, the biggest thing, one of the things I promised that put Hank on his heels, because Hank actually had to come out and debate me twice.
Wow, he came out.
Three times he came out. It was amazing. But one of the things that got him out is because I promised the people, I would trail him, and I'd go into Democrat areas, and I'd talk straight to the Democrat voters, and I told them, I will have every month a town hall.
That's right.
I'm not going to spend time in Washington. I don't need to eat steak.
That's right.
With politicians.
Come on.
I need to eat chicken or whatever.
That's
with
right.
You guys.
Hey, we got to eat beans and
wings.
Whatever
beans,
we got to do.
Wings, because I may be Hispanic, but I love my favorite food is the wings and barbecue anything I can get my hands.
Look at you. And I stopped eating meat, but I guess I got to go back now.
Man, you might have to go back. But but I promised to have a town hall. I promised to stay in the district.
Correct.
And then take their voice to Washington.
That's what I
see. And that is what brought Hank out.
That's exactly what I see.
All right, we've got to finish up here. Listen, I want to have you back.
Oh,
because
man.
Because this was way too short.
Yeah, we got to.
But give people real quick, give my listeners, how can they find you?
Wow.
How can they find
yes, go to apostille, the number 4, congress.com. That's APOSTELL, the number 4, congress.com. Or, hey, better yet, shoot us an email, postell, POSTELL, the number 4, ALL@gmail.com. We definitely have to do this again because this was great.
Well, we will do this again. And ladies and gentlemen, please go check out Ansel. We need more people like him with the courage to fight both parties.
Yes.
And it gets me in trouble when I say it, but I mean it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the On Point with Victor show. Stay tuned. Locked and Loaded's up next with Roger B.
Hey, thanks.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.